You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, October the 28th of 2025. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is dark outside, and that's going to change because coming up on the weekend, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Don't forget, it is fall back. You turn your clocks back an hour because spring forward and then you fall back. But daylight savings time will end coming up this weekend, and that means that we'll get some daylight earlier during the course of the day. I remember we've talked about this in the past, my thoughts on daylight savings time, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the week. But just make sure you remember, you don't want to wake up Sunday morning and look at the clock and be an hour off. But but nevertheless, we'll talk more about that as we come into the week. It is 35 degrees right now in downtown Wausau. Again, weather-wise, it looks like another pretty good day. We had a nice day yesterday. And not quite as warm today. In fact, we're going to see the temperatures start to plateau and then start to cool down very slowly as the week continues. Look for mostly cloudy skies today at a high near 53 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, again, a high near 53. Then on Thursday, sunny, but still a little bit cooler, down to 51. 49 and cloudy on Friday, and then mostly cloudy on Saturday, 44 degrees. And then finally, our next real chance of rain isn't until the weekend. Maybe a 20% chance of rain on Friday night, 30% chance of rain on Sunday with a high near 46. So if you're one of those Packers season ticket holders, we'll be heading over to Green Bay for the game on Sunday with the Carolina Panthers. May have to bundle just a little bit. But again, mainly dry, mainly nice fall conditions for the rest of this week. We're going to talk a little bit later on, just a little bit, about your opportunity to go and let your voice be heard in the city of Wausau. The budget hearing will be held tonight. The public comments will be allowed. We'll give you more information on that. Talk a little bit about what the issues are as the mayor is threatening a veto of the city budget that's being worked on. So we'll talk about that coming up. I just wanted to mention, though, last night I was watching Game 3 of the World Series. And I was watching it, and then it got to the 12th inning, and then I said, I got to go to bed because I got to wake up early. So it's the 12th inning. It was tied 5-5, and so I go to bed, and I wake up this morning. I'm thinking, well, I wonder who won the World Series. I bet you they probably finished right after I went to bed, thinking, you know, I probably just, if I would have waited another 5-10 minutes, I probably could have seen the end of the game. Well, that I was wrong, but I was wrong. The game did not end in the 13th inning. The game did not end in the 14th inning. The game did not end in the 15th inning. The game did not end in the 16th inning. The game did not end in the 17th inning. In the bottom of the 18th inning last night in Game 3 of the World Series, Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off home run for the Dodgers and ended a marathon game, a great game.
That's definitely a long game.
Yep. So the Dodgers,
I feel like they should have called it if it went after the 20 innings.
Don't call it, and especially in LA, because they're actually a couple of hours. It wasn't as late in LA as it was here. So, but at the same time, it was 6-5 Dodgers over the Blue Jays. So Los Angeles takes a 2-1 lead in the World Series, putting the pressure on Toronto with game number 4 going tonight. I think both bullpens are going to be taxed because they had to use a lot of pitchers last night. And it ties the longest game in World Series history. And In fact, the two games that have gone 18 innings last night and then also a Dodger game back in 2018, way beyond anything else in World Series history. The next longest games were 14 innings back in 2015, 2005, and 1916. And very long game. Heartbreak for the Blue Jays. Thriller for the Dodgers. So, again, 2-1. It's turning into a pretty good World Series up to this point. The Blue Jays won the opener in a big fashion, 11-4. Then the Dodgers came back to win game 2, 5-1. And then that was a classic. Blue Jays had a couple of runners late in the game when I was watching get thrown off out on the base paths trying to be aggressive. And in the end, it did not help them. And Ohtani had another big hit. Blue Jays were up 5-4. In the bottom of the seventh inning, and Ohtani went deep to tie it up. And then from the bottom of the seventh inning to the bottom of the 18th inning, there were no runs scored at all, but a lot of thrills and a lot of tension in that one. So, again, if you haven't been catching up with the World Series, maybe worth a peek in tonight with game number 4 as Major League Baseball comes towards the end of their season. So I'm glad I did not wait longer then, because I had to find out what time the game actually ended, because it was well after 11 o'clock when I said enough is enough. I think it was like 11:15, 11:20. Said I gotta go to sleep. I gotta wake up in the morning and be bright eyed and bushy tailed for the listeners here on the WXEO Morning Report. But for you folks that did make it through to the end, I don't think there's probably a lot of you that made it to the end are still with us here this early in the morning. You're probably still sleeping if they waited to the very end. It'll be interesting to see when the ratings come out what the high point was, because normally the high point in the ratings are somewhere around the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, because people start to watch near the end of the game to see who's going to win. And then as it gets real late, you see those numbers start to fade away because people start going to bed. I'm curious to see how many people are at the peak of the game last night and how many were in front of their TVs at the very end of the game last night as well.
That would definitely be interesting.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Wausau budget and the budget hearing, where you have an opportunity to speak, coming up at 7:22 during our next segment of the WXCO Morning Report. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. Coming up, top of the hour, information update, news, weather, and sports, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Sun is starting to rise, starting to get some light out there. 7:23 is the time, fair skies, and 36 degrees is the temperature. Along with Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Tonight, it is a rather busy evening. The Wausau City Council will be holding a meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. And among the activity will be the public getting an opportunity to speak about the city budget, but also something else will be going on tonight as well, as the city council will also be replacing one of their own, as of course Gary Gisselman, the longtime area resident who was involved in so many different things, passed away recently. And the District 5 seat that Gary Gisselman had held is now vacant, and there are three folks that are seeking to fill the vacancy, and the council tonight will decide which of those three will be seated. They'll be sworn in, and then they will fill in for the remainder of this term and then be up for re-election later in 2026. The three choices to fill the seat of Gary Gisselman are James Wadinski, Aaron Greiner and Steven Schmidt. So that decision will be made tonight. But also wanted to talk about the idea of the account, the folks here in Wausau getting an opportunity to speak at this public hearing about the upcoming Wausau budget. And the budget approval date is set for November the 11th. However, there has been some choppy waters. Mayor Doug Denny, department heads, other city staff, put out the initial budget proposal released in late September. However, the mayor, a couple of weeks ago, sent out a news release and said that he may just well veto this budget because, quote, he wants a serious examination of existing spending. Then he said it's the job of a mayor to use his or her veto to curb excesses, and he wants to have this veto as a wake-up call. And again, a couple things about the idea of the mayor using his veto pen to stop the budget or to try to change the budget. Number one, it's not a sign of strength when a president or a governor or a mayor uses the veto power. It means that for whatever reason, the mayor has not been able to get his priorities through and has decided that the only way to stop it is through the veto power. It shows that he does not have that majority of support on the council. It shows that he does not have the ability, at least in this case, to bring folks over to his side. At the same time, while I do think it is not a sign of strength that the mayor does have this in his toolbox and that it's perfectly valid for a mayor to use a veto to try to get his priorities. Another aspect of it is the talk that the mayor brings up when he talks about spending. I wish whether it was folks who talk about spending or folks that talk about taxes would bring the two topics together. Because in any budget, whether it is a federal budget, a state budget, or a local budget, it's not just about spending. You can believe that we spend too much, or you can believe that we spend not enough. It's not just about taxes. You can believe that we're being taxed too much, or in some cases, not being taxed enough. And I think examples would be the very wealthy in our country who have been getting tax break after tax break over recent years and decades. So for the mayor to just say he doesn't like spending, or in the case of, you know, or in the case of the tax rate, that's too high. It has to be connected. You have to talk about the connection between spending and taxing. And too often, and the mayor in this case, I think, has talked a lot about, well, spending is out of control or spending is too high. Well, it's hand in glove. Sometimes you have to spend, and there are reasons why that spending would go up. It could be inflationary pressures. It could be many other pressures. It could be losing certain grants. And one area that we heard about so often under former Mayor Katie Rosenberg that I don't hear as much, and I'm not saying that the current mayor is or is not looking for grants at the same level or with the same intensity that the former mayor did. But I do know that we often heard about the former mayor looking under every rock, being very, very active in trying to find the funding to help in terms of trying to keep the tax rate as low as possible. And because there are many opportunities out there for municipalities and other government entities to find certain areas where you can get grants and the like. So again, I don't know enough about what the mayor does on a day-to-day basis, whether or not he is out there trying to find some of these grants in order to keep some of the programs that have been brought in by the city in recent years. But I do think that, again, when you just say spending is too high, that's only one piece of the puzzle. You have to put it all together in order to, I think, have the best possible budget. So, again, this budget process is continuing. And if you have thoughts, you have the opportunity to speak at the public hearing tonight to let your voice be heard on what you think the priorities should be in terms of the Wausau City budget. So, again, democracy only works if you are involved in it. And here is an opportunity for you to be involved in it this evening
with the city of Wausau. So again, a new district alderperson will be elected to replace Gary Gilselman, and also that public hearing on the budget will be occurring tonight at City Hall. The time is 7:29. We'll have the farm report and a total information update coming up, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Overcast skies here at our downtown studios. We are located right downtown, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 36 degrees is the temperature. Expecting temps in the low, maybe close to the mid-50s before all is said and done today. But another dry day on tap. In fact, it's going to be dry pretty much all week long. So any outdoor activities you have planned should not be altered by the weather in any way. And I came across a story yesterday, and it got me thinking. And that can sometimes can be a bit of a dangerous thing. But the story was yesterday, the governor of Indiana, Republican Mike Braun, announced a special legislative session to consider redrawing the state's congressional map. The move marks the fourth GOP-controlled state to undertake a redistricting initiative at the request of Donald J. Trump. So now it's Texas, Missouri, North Carolina, and Indiana who are all trying to maneuver the maps in order to gain seats for the Republican Party in the 2026 midterm elections. The state of California is attempting to do it on the other side, basically in response to what Texas did, in order to try to maintain, I guess, some sort of fairness in terms of ultimately, and the old idea of two wrongs don't make a right, but at the same time, if you don't do it, next November, on election night, midterm elections, 2026 in November of next year, let's, for argument's sake, say when the votes come in that the Republicans have a three-seat majority or a four-seat majority or a one-seat majority, whatever it may be, simply put, because of these gerrymanders, which is wrong. And Mike Braun, the governor of Indiana, when I saw this story, I wanted to see what did the governor say was the reason for this special session? Because my thought is there's no plausible way of putting it that doesn't say this is the wrong thing to do. And again, sometimes it comes down to the basics. What is the right thing to do? What is the wrong thing to do? And the governor, in his statement, said he's calling the session to, quote, protect Hoosiers from efforts in other states that seek to diminish their voice in Washington and ensure their representation in Congress is fair. Talk about a word salad. It makes no sense.
Yeah,
the idea that Texas gerrymandering their state, or North Carolina or Missouri gerrymandering their state to give more Republican seats in Congress, somehow hurts Indiana, which is a 7-2 state for Republicans, is just silliness. And what Republicans want to do in this special session is to target both of Indiana's Democratic districts to win all 9 seats in the delegation, which is currently 7-2 for the GOP. And I mean, Indiana has some, I mean, well, number one, the vice president, J.D. Vance, actually made a visit to Indianapolis to push this plan back in August. Mm. And Indiana has not been jumping for joy about doing this.
Okay.
There's even Republicans that they know this is not the right thing to do, that this is wrong. But then Charlie Kirk also got involved in this before his death. Mm. Indiana voters received robocalls urging them to support a GOP gerrymander. Charlie Kirk threatened reluctant Republicans, posting on social media, "We will support primary opponents for Republicans in the Indiana state legislature who refuse to support the team and redraw the maps."
Oh, boy.
Support the team. And then some Indiana Republicans were quick to use Kirk's death as a rallying cry for gerrymandering. Senator Jim Banks of Indiana told attendees at a party event, quote, "They killed Charlie Kirk. The least we can do is go through a legal process and redistrict Indiana into a 9-0 map."
Oh, my gosh.
Also, the governor warned in September that the state could face consequences for not complying with Trump's plan. Basically, the blackmail of the president of the United States. The governor, the Republican governor of Indiana, said, "If we try to drag our feet as a state on it, probably we'll have consequences of not working with the Trump administration as tightly as we should." The bottom line here is, mm-hmm. and it can be in this issue and it can be in so many other issues, doing the right thing. Why has it become so hard in this Trump era to do the right thing in so many different areas? And this is just another example. And it puts Democrats in such a bad spot because ultimately we don't want to gerrymander California.
No.
I mean, but there are consequences. There are big consequences on whether or not Donald Trump has a majority of Congress starting in January of 2027. And if he's going to cheat to get a majority of the House of Representatives, is it the wrong thing to do nothing? I think it would be the wrong thing because you can't let a bully win in this way.
Exactly.
And again, big picture-wise, no, I don't want to gerrymander. But at the same time, you can't just let one side play by one set of rules and the other side just lay back and do nothing. But again, if we could get back to the point of actually trying to think, what is the best thing to do?
Yes.
The governor of Indiana knows this is not the right thing to do, yet he is doing it because Donald Trump might be mad at him. Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
We'll come back at 8:22 for our final WXCO Morning Report on WX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:23. Currently, overcast skies. 37 degrees is the temperature in downtown Wausau. We are at our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Look for mostly cloudy skies today and a high reaching near 53 degrees. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. Coming up tomorrow morning on the program in our first segment at 6:52 a.m., we'll be talking about NAMI Northwoods. And I think you've been hearing some commercials talking about what NAMI Northwoods does. We're going to delve a little bit more into it about mental health challenges for folks here in central Wisconsin and some of the resources that are available. We'll be talking to Cheryl Martino. She is a family-to-family education class facilitator, also a hearts and minds facilitator as well. So we'll get the details on what NAMI Northwoods does here in Wausau. That will begin at 6:52 tomorrow morning here on the program. So that's something to look forward to. Then on Thursday, we'll be joined by the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party. We'll talk to Nancy Stencil and have what's going on politically, and it's never boring politically. On Friday morning, we'll have a pair of guests. In the first pair of segments, we'll be talking to Paul Novinsky. He is somebody I've known for a very long time. He was, for a number of years, my co-host on the Big High School Sports Show during football season. He was a longtime football coach at Mosinee High School, but now he has turned his attention to presidency of the Mosinee School Board. So we'll talk about what are some of the issues with the Mosinee schools, and what is the focus for Paul Novinsky and other members of the board. So we'll talk about Mosinee School Board issues with Paul Novinsky coming up at 6:52 on Friday. And then that'll be followed by our weekend sports preview in Wisconsin with Paul Miklik. So again, over the next few days, a number of interesting guests will be with us during the WXCO Morning Report here on 98.9 WXCO. Coming up next week, we'll have an opportunity for some more great guests. Included will be from the Wausau Community Theater. That's coming up not this weekend, but the following weekend.
That's right.
It will be The big show that Ian is part of, Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, that's right.
And you're in the midst of your rehearsals. You're just about a week and a half away from opening, but we'll have a chance to talk, I think, to either the director or cast members of that production coming up next week.
Should be very exciting.
You liking the show? Is it a show that you really put your arms around?
It's definitely a challenging show, but it's definitely worth it. It's definitely one of the more darker shows I've done, but as I've said before, the music in the show is absolutely phenomenal. Mm.
So that's fantastic. Again, the production will be at the James F. Venega Theater at the campus of the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point in Wausau. There'll be a show on Friday night of next week. Mm-hmm. That will be, I think, the 7th, if I'm not mistaken, the 7th of November.
I believe so. It is the 7th through the 9th.
And then on the 8th, you'll have two shows at 2 p.m. And the evening show's at 7 or 7:30?
I believe they're at 7:30.
Okay. So it'll be an evening show on both Friday.
I will double check that, though.
Evening shows on both Friday and Saturday, and matinee shows on Saturday and Sunday. So four big opportunities. And you can, of course, get your tickets now, right?
Yep. There's about plenty of tickets available. You can get them on the Wausau Community Theater website, or if you go on Facebook on the WCT page, you can get a direct link to get tickets from there. There's about plenty of tickets available.
Well, you got to go out there and see Ian Welsh back on the stage again. What is this, 76?
I believe this is my 78th.
78th. Boy, you just keeps going up and up and up. So we'll look forward to, again, learning more about the show next week and then seeing the show the following weekend as well.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up with our number for the day quiz. Every weekday, we give Ian an opportunity to wrap up the show with a number for the day quiz. Instead of just doing a number for the day, we give three choices to Ian and tries to get it right. And if he gets... basically, the math says 1 out of 3. So anything better than 33% is a passing grade. But we want better than that. We'd like him to get more right than wrong, which would be a winning week, which is 3 out of 5. 4 out of 5 would be an A grade. And, of course, a perfect week. 5 out of 5, you get that gold star perfect week.
That's right.
Mentioned last night that the World Series game went 18 innings. It was a very long night at Dodger Stadium before the Dodgers beat the Blue Jays by a score of 6-5. L.A. now leads the series 2-1. The number for the day is, what is the longest game in Major League Baseball history in terms of innings?
Okay.
So what is the longest game by innings in Major League Baseball history?
Okay.
And it occurred on May the 1st of 1920. And in fact, it ended in a tie, Brooklyn and Boston.
Oh.
So your choices are 23 innings.
Right.
26 innings, 29 innings.
Longest game by innings took place in 1920, 23, 26, or 29. You know, I'm going to say 23 innings is my final answer. 23.
The longest Major League Baseball game by innings was a 26-inning game between Brooklyn and Boston on May the 1st of 1920.
It's definitely a long game.
It was a long game. All right, we'll try again tomorrow.
Yep.
So again, we will be talking to Cheryl Martino from NAMI Northwoods, starting things off at 6:52 as part of the WXCO Morning Report. Well, Ian, have a great rest of your Tuesday.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
But don't go anywhere, folks. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up after an information update. That's straight ahead on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.